All right, this song is slightly interactive, so if we're jumping up here, you guys gotta jump with us. If we're clapping up here, you guys gotta clap with us, okay? The way that the Spirit of God moves powerfully in a body is when we're all in one accord and one mind praising God, going to those, towards the same goal, right? All right, go ahead, let's get it.
One more time. sure he is able.
He is able.
Whatever he promised, he's gonna do it. Whatever he promised, he's gonna do it. Come on, y'all.
I said, give God a shout for. Hallelujah.
Were saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth.
I love y'all so much.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth
saving,
so you came.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
So you cleaned me up.
So you cleaned me up inside.
You thought I. I can be,
so I can be free.
I wanna
so
be,
I can
whole.
Be whole.
I wanna
so
tell,
I
everyone.
Tell everyone I know.
Hallelujah. Glory,
glory
to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you.
Forever.
I'll worship you.
Forever.
I'll give you glory.
Forever.
Because I am. How many people did he send to the clubs when you was trying to do what you wanted to do? But God said, no, I got better plans for you. Take it. I hate that I keep cussing out. God is so good. He's still so good. Yes, Lord.
falls down. Spirit, break out,
break out.
Heaven, come down.
Yes.
Spirit, break.
This earth, for God's will to be on this earth no matter what, then you're missing the mark. We've got to see revival. We don't have much time left. We already know that Jesus is coming back soon. So we've got to put God's kingdom first. And when we put God's kingdom first, the word says it, everything else that we want, everything else that we're asking for Jesus, he'll give to us. It won't be hard for us to attain. All we've got to do is ask for heaven to come down, to submit to his righteousness, to submit to his spirit, because we've got to get our minds right. We don't have much time left. We've got to see a revival come. We have to see revival. So if you want to see revival come, if you want to see the blessing of heaven, if you want to see souls saved, if you want a revival of your heart, just get your hands up. Who cares what anybody else thinks? Just get your hands up.
Father, we worship you this morning and thank you for the awesome privilege of being in your presence. God, it always amazes me how heaven will come down. Lord, I know that you love us. But God, your patience with us, your love for us, God, is so overwhelming at times when we realize that the creator of all the universe chooses to spend time with us. Father, we want you to know that today we don't worship you out of religious action. God, we don't do it out of just because somebody else is next to us. But Father, out of our hearts, we want you to know we truly love you and thank you for all that you do in our lives. And today, we give you the honor that's due your name, for you are great and greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, I said, everybody said, did everybody have enough to eat for Thanksgiving? How many had to repent before the service began for gluttony? Amen. Why don't you go welcome some folks you don't know and tell them one thing that you're thanking Jesus for in your life today. Make sure you share. Don't sit down, please. Make sure you get up. Go find somebody you don't know and say, I thank God that he's done this in my life. Come on now, be friendly. Be friendly. Don't sit down. Turn around to the person behind you and say, well, good morning. I thank God that he changed my life. You may be seated.
Your growth is directly tied into your success, and we want to see you successful in your Christian walk. I want to introduce you to Next Steps Level 1. You can attend this Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings, or Thursday nights for Rock Solid Faith. It is a year-long class that is absolutely life-changing. And then session two, step two, is marriage. And that's going on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. This will be a series of eight-week classes. We want to encourage you, if you've done Rock Solid Faith, sign up for step two. If you haven't got started, get started today. You can go to histabernacle.com and register. You can come right to the hub, or you can email nextsteps@histabernacle for more information.
Good morning, HT. Wow, I was moved by the response. Let's try that one more time. Can we try it one more time? Okay, I'm going to try it one more time. Good morning, HT. Y'all should be having your sleep coming at 9 or 11 o'clock for second service. You should all have slept in and got your Z's. Been excited to come to second service. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Live stream, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We want to welcome our live stream audience.
Can we give a round of applause for our live streamers? Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you. We also want to welcome all the first-time guests. I know I saw a couple first-time guests out in the foyer that I got before they came in. If you are a first-time guest and we did not catch you in the foyer, if you could just slide your hand up, we're not going to embarrass you. We have a gift for you. We want to be able to give you. We got some guests right up here up front. We got some guests right over here. Amen. Can we give our guests a round of applause? We got one in the back. Awesome, awesome. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We want to let you know also right after the service, if you go down the hallway, that's to your right, my left, in the we have a guest reception we'd like to invite you to where you get a chance to meet with our pastors and also our other staff and gives us a chance to get to know you. If you brought a guest to the house this morning, please bring them with you. We do have coffee. Everybody likes coffee. We have some water if you don't like coffee, and we do have some refreshments, so please come to the guest reception. As you saw in the video announcement, Next Steps is still happening. It happens every single week. Say every single week. Next Steps. Say it out loud. Next Steps. So we have step one. We have step one that's happening with Rock Solid Faith every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. with the Most Holy Reverend Dr. Father Spencer. We have also Wednesday mornings for those of you that are working the night shift. We have Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. with myself. And then we have Thursday night at 6 p.m. with Pastor Shannon Palko. So that's happening every single week. You can guarantee that there will be a Rock Solid Faith class. Pastor Shannon was here on Thanksgiving teaching Rock Solid Faith class. Amen. So also, step two, right now, we're in the middle, just getting wrap up in the second week of December, the marriage class. Who's in step two? A lot of people. Yes. All right. So listen, we have two new classes that are going to be starting in January 10th. Again, that will be a Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Make sure that you sign up. Make sure you go out to the hub after the service or you go online and sign up for Next Steps and get registered to do that because we want to grow you up. Amen. All right. So last but not least, we have Christmas Eve service and Christmas service coming up. It's coming really soon. It flies because we had Black Friday and we got that out of the way. Now we got Christmas. Amen. You guys are really excited about Christmas, I can see. All right, so Christmas Eve service will be happening right here at 7 p.m. Last service I said 6 p.m., so please correct me. Amen. So it will be 7 p.m. Christmas Eve, and then the very next Sunday we're having only one service. Everybody say one service? At 10 a.m. for Christmas. This is your opportunity to invite your friends, your family, and whomever, your neighbors even. It could be anybody. We want to invite people out for Christmas service. This is one of our largest attended services of the whole year. So this is an opportunity to invite those that will come. So make sure you're inviting at least five people. Amen? All right, I'm done. Pastor Cody.
That would have been dangerous. Very dangerous. How are you guys doing today? Way too quiet. How are you doing today? Worship was way too good to be that quiet about Jesus. Awesome. Hey, so we're going to transition right now into tithes and offerings. And I know, look, it can be sometimes like, oh my goodness, we're going to talk about money again. But that's not the attitude we need to have about it at all. Today, I want to talk to you real quick about Abraham and something that I read in a book. I don't read a lot of books. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to grow up and be more of an adult and read books. This one got me good. But who knows that God is a God of promises, right? He's a covenant-based God. And it's powerful because every single promise in the Bible is only a promise until you take care of your half. And when you enact your half of that promise, it then becomes an unbreakable covenant. Right? Correct? Awesome. So we know the story of Abraham, correct? So Abraham, God had cut a covenant with him that it is a powerful covenant. What happened, though, is in Genesis chapter 22, God decided to say, you know what, I'm going to put your faith to the test. So what I want you to do is the son that I promised you, I want you to take your son, your only legitimate son, I want you to take him and I want you to sacrifice that son. And I've read that like 1,000 times, like, wow, what a great sacrifice. This is powerful. And it is. But I was reading this book, The Miracle of the Scarlet Thread, by a man named Richard Booker. It's an older book, but absolutely powerful, like life-transforming book. And he said this about Abraham in Genesis 22, and it blew my mind. Ready? He said, God asked Abraham to give his son. We know that. But he said, this was a common practice amongst pagans to show allegiance to their gods. So how powerful is it that God was literally asking Abraham, for your covenant, can you give me what the world is willing to give their false gods? That's all he wanted. He said, give me what the world is willing to give up for what offers them nothing in return, for what offers them lies and falsity. Are you willing to give me your God, the true God, the one that has cut this covenant with you? Are you willing to give me what the world is willing to give their God? Powerful, right? And I started thinking about it. I was like, well, the world, even today, they have a lot of gods that they're willing to serve. People will buy the God of alcohol for $20 for a 30 rack. They'll buy the God of Netflix and watch all Saturday. Like I did yesterday. But we come into covenant with these other things that we end up serving. But when it comes to God saying, look, I have a covenant that's called the tithe. And if you'll take care of your part of the tithe, I'll do these things. I want to challenge you to do a study on the covenant of tithing. Actually, I put Pastor on the hook. I think tomorrow he'll write a blog about it. You can find that in your email. Don't erase it. Or you can find it on Facebook, or there's a little blog link on the website under Meet Our Pastors. But he can help educate you on the covenant of the tithe. But it's pretty powerful that God literally said, just, are you willing to give me what the world is willing to give their God? That's right. Some people really do serve alcohol. They're willing to pay money for it. People serve things and they're willing to pay the price. And God said, I have this covenant. I want 10%. That's it. And these things will be opened up in your life. So today, I just want to challenge you real quick. If you're not a tither, I want to challenge you this morning to answer God's challenge of, will you trust me like the world trusts me with their sacrifice? And if you already tithe, or maybe you said, you know, I used to tithe and I've stopped, would you be willing to take God up in this challenge of faith and say, do you know what? If the world is willing to sacrifice money for their gods, I will sacrifice what he's required of me. Today, I just want you to go ahead and prepare your offering. If that's you, say, no, I'm going to tithe today. I'm going to enact the covenant of tithing. I'm going to give God my first fruits. I'm going to give him the 10% that he's asked of me, because I'm ready to see what his promises are in my life. So if that's you today, I want you to go ahead and just, if you have an envelope, go ahead and fill that out. If you don't have an envelope, on the screen real quick, they're going to put a text to give number. Or if you're watching online, you can go to the giving tab, or even in your seats, you can go to the giving tab on histabernacle.com. Set up a recurring payment. That's what me and my wife do. Just make it easier. If we're going to seed above that, we'll go ahead and fill out our envelope. Just much easier for us. But I want to challenge you today. Will you be a tither? Will you go from just Jesus being your Savior to Jesus being your Lord today? If you're ready, can you go ahead and stand to your feet? We have a saying here. We quote Deuteronomy 28, first service. I was saying how awkward it would be if I had forgotten that. Be just about as awkward as someone forgetting the national anthem in front of a big stadium. But I had people help me out so I didn't mess it up. So today, if you're ready, can I hear a mighty shout from the back for the whole thing? I'm blessed going in. No, let's do that again a little bit louder. I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I can't hear you in the back. I'm blessed in my storehouse. Now the front's being quiet. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to what? They're going to what? Because you're what? I can't hear you because you're who?
I'm a child of God.
In the back, you're who?
I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God. You can go ahead and bring your tithe and offering to the front. Thank you for being obedient to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Tomorrow morning, look for that blog on covenant tithing. We love you. Thank you for online giving as well.
Praise the Lord. We used to call them our youth band, but they're too old to be called youth band anymore. They're our young adults, and we're so blessed to have them here. They've been such a blessing. Our Bible school students, we thank God. They're from Texas. Glory to God, they're here. And you're not from Texas, but you can visit. Glory. We're excited that you are here today in the house of God. We have a word from the Lord that I know is going to stir your heart. How many of you love Jesus? Well, that's not a lot of you. I said, how many of you love Jesus? Amen. Today, if you're our guest, we want to say thank you so much for being with us. You know, today, I just want to make sure you understand how important Christmas is this year. Christmas is different for this year. It's different in this aspect. It only happens every once in a while where Christmas is on a Sunday morning. And a lot of folks say, well, you know, is anybody going to go to Christmas service on a Sunday morning? That's one of our larger attended. It's amazing how many will come. I remember when I was in my last church, I got a phone call from a young lady named Rusty Miller. And her whole family called me at 6 a.m. in the morning and said, Pastor, will you meet us up at the church building? And I said, sure. I mean, it's early Christmas. My kids are going to get up. But anyway, so I went up to the church, and she had painted this, as bigger than a TV, just a beautiful picture of Jesus dying on the cross and the lightning coming down and the land cracking. It was beautiful. And she said, my whole family are here to dedicate this gift to Jesus on Christmas Sunday morning. And you know, every year that makes a big difference for me because I remember that Christmas morning is not about getting the presents. It's about celebrating the greatest present of all, and his name is Jesus. Amen. So this coming year, we're blessed. We have our Christmas Eve service where we do communion and candlelight service. It's going to be awesome. We always just generate 400 or 500 folks out for that service. But then Christmas morning, for 1 hour, that's it. It's a 1 hour service, 10 to 11. We can come together and worship the one, the greatest gift of all. Amen. Jesus Christ. So I'd encourage you, make sure you invite folks. You'd be blown away how many will come because this is what we're here for, right? We're celebrating Jesus. Amen. I said amen. You're awful quiet this morning. You're a choir crew, huh? I'm just excited because God has done such amazing things in our lives. This is the year of kingdom seed. Last year was the year of the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Which means if you're not seeking the kingdom, then you're not seeking what Christ said to go first. If you don't know what the kingdom is, you're just simply lost. Amen. We want you to know that Jesus said for us to seek the kingdom of God first. And then this year, this whole year, we've been talking about seed. It's one of the number one principles found in the kingdom. Everything you need is in the Everything you need is in the seed. So we've been studying all about seed this year and how seed changes our lives. Today I want to talk about the compulsion of the greatest seed. I want to remind you that the greatest harvest demands the greatest seed. And many of us want to give God something, but not the greatest of all. The greatest thing that we can give him is our whole lives, not just in part, but in whole. And the greatest seed that God gave, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The greatest seed that God gave was his son Jesus, so that we might be saved. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. Can I hear an amen? Jesus didn't come to start a new, just a group of people getting together and singing Kumbaya. Jesus came to build a family. And the family he came to build is you and I. The very compulsion, the very drive, the very passion of the Messiah, the very passion of the seed sent from heaven is to gain the largest harvest that the devil is striving to destroy. You see, the enemy of your soul, Satan, hates you. He will do everything he can to draw you, to drag you, to disorient you, to distract you, so that you would be one who would follow the world system rather than God's kingdom, because he hates you with all that he has. The Bible makes the declaration in John 10:10, for the devil's come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus, everybody shout, but Jesus.
Who's Jesus? The seed of God. But the seed of God has come that you might have life and life more abundant. Jesus came that you and I could enjoy our purpose and our plan that we're on this planet for. And you see, today I just want to just impact your life with God's word. And it's simply this. What was the compulsion of the greatest seed? And I want to share this with you. It's always to produce the greatest harvest. And you and I are that harvest. Turn to someone and say, you are so special to God. Our verse for the year is Psalms 1 verse 3, and it makes this declaration. And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit. Everybody shout fruit. Shout fruit. Come on, one more time. Shout fruit. One thing you'll recognize is that God did not call you just to be a tree. Amen. God called you to be a fruit-producing tree. God called you to produce something that people could enjoy, that people could draw from. Jesus created you at this time and this point of history because God needs you right here, right now. Why? Not just to be a tree, not just to be prosperous, but that you and I would be trees that are filled with fruit. You see, God has called you to be a worker. Turn to someone and say, God's called me to work. Whoa, I figured I'd get a lot of amens on that one. The fact is that many of us do not recognize that the very compulsion of Christ, the very drive of Christ, was simply to do one thing. He came here not to be served, but to serve. And if we are going to be the greatest harvesters on this planet, then we have got to be people that are planted by the tree, that's planted by the water, who will bring forth its fruit. That means you and I have got to produce something for the Lord. Now, a lot of people say, Pastor, what's fruit got to do with it? Everything. If you haven't read John 15 in a long time, it's imperative that you read that. Why? Because the Bible says if you're a tree that's not producing fruit for the kingdom of God, he cuts you off and he throws you in the fire. You see, we love the fact that God is filled with grace. But the grace principle is this. Grace is the power that God gives to live successful. Mercy is when we mess up. I thank God for mercy, but I must have his grace to live successfully. And to live successfully, it doesn't mean that I'm going to heaven. To live successfully means he's going to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, God has called us to be a people that are compelled with the same passion that Christ had. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 says this. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. And one will receive his own reward according to his own. One will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. Now here's a fact. If you don't work, the Bible declares you should not eat. We live in a world, in a society today that people don't mind taking. And in the church world, we're finding this to be in a strong reality. In fact, in America today, 9,000 churches a year are closing. And the main reason for that is because people have lost the very purpose of the design of the church. The purpose and the design of the church is not that you have a comfortable seat. It's not that we have air conditioning. It's not that we can come together and just worship the Lord. But the design of the church is to bring forth fruit, is to be in labor. You see, the Bible makes the declaration right there, one plants and one waters. But each person in this room will receive a reward from their own labor, which means Christ has called us to be laborers in his kingdom. He's called us to be workers in his kingdom. He's called us to put our hands to the plow and don't look back. You see, when we are understanding our call, then we're not lost. But when we're saved and we still don't understand why we're here, then we're really lost people. You know, how many of you recognize when you got saved, you didn't die? How many are glad? Can you imagine standing up and the pastor giving an altar call and, you know, 15 people come forward and they say, now would you like to receive the Lord? Yes, I would. And repeat after me, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, I receive you as my Savior. And then all 15 drop dead. How many of you recognize it's hard to build a church that way? Well, the reason that people didn't drop dead is because God has purpose for you. And you see, when you recognize that when you get saved, yes, you secure eternity. You secure relationship with the Father. You secure the blood washing away every single stain. You secure your destiny. Yes, we understand that. But why are you still on this planet? The reason that you're still here is because God has a job for you. God's got some labor for you. And he's saying, listen, I'm not just going to ask you to work and not produce, but I'm going to give you a reward. I'm going to give each one a reward for the labor that they've accomplished. You see, today, I don't know about you. When I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want to say I just made it in by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I want to be able to have him say to me, well done, son. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That means you're faithful what I've given you. You've been accomplishing the labor that I've worked with you. And here I am. I'm going to reward you for what you've accomplished. Now listen, you cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot earn your way into heaven. But if you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Just because somebody has works does not mean they have faith. But if you are saved, washed by the blood of Jesus, sons and daughters of the Most High, then if you have faith, you will automatically start producing works. The Bible makes a declaration, goes on in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. We are God's building. You see, today, the word fellow workers is really cool. Because it literally means that God is working with you. That you are not doing anything of your own volition. You're not doing anything of your own capacity. You're not doing anything of your own power. You see, when we yoke ourselves with God, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, God then expects us to start working in the kingdom. That means that God hooks up with us and we work with him. Man, there's no greater privilege than recognizing that God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, isn't marrying our lives from heaven, but literally is saying, listen now, we're a team. I'm going to work with you, and you're going to work with me, and we're going to accomplish the destiny that I foreordained before the foundations of the earth. You are not a mistake. Before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. You see, God has destiny for your life. God has purpose for your life. And we've got to say, God, where do I go next? You see, one of the things that we've got to lay hold of is if we do not have the heart of Christ, then we do not work. If we do not have the heart of Christ, we will not work. The fact is that how God sent Jesus of Nazareth and anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, and Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We know that Jesus did the works that he did because he was coupled with the Father. He was united with the Father. The Father and him were one. You see, the compulsion of Christ was the compulsion of the Father, and the compulsion of the church, the compulsion of the believer, must be the compulsion of the Messiah. We must have the drive, the passion that he had, that not one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Christ is raising up in these last days a group of people that are soul winners, that love other people even more than they love themselves, that are willing to sacrifice themselves and say, God, any way you want to use me, here I am. For Lord, I want to co-labor with you. And God, it's not that I want the reward, even though that's going to be nice. But Lord, I want to please you. The greatest seed demands a phenomenal harvest. And the mission of the church has to get back to soul winning. When the church stops soul winning, the churches start dying. A church that does not see people saved in it is not a church, it's a club. Well, that's kind of mean. No, it's not mean. If you look at the book of Acts, you'll see what's coupled in the book of Acts. You'll always see the gospel being preached and the power backs it up. You'll see addition and then multiplication. The principles of God's kingdom is that God is not a subtractor and God is not a divider. God is an increaser. And increase comes as the church has the focus of heaven. For God loves a soul-winning church. He loves a church that love people that are dying and lost, that are willing to labor to get the gospel out. You see, today you are not just sitting here in a building. Today you're not just sitting here in a church. Today you're sons and daughters of the Most High God. A church cannot save you. A man cannot save you. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash your sins away. And the gospel must be preached to this earth, for Jesus Christ is coming and he's going to crack the eastern sky soon and very soon. The church has to get back to soul winning. We've got to get back to the heart of God. They actually did a study of over 3,000 believers. And they were asked this question. Christians are asked to respond to this question. Christians have the responsibility to evangelize others. 26% of the church said they strongly agree with that. 20% agree somewhat. 19 disagree. And then 35% disagree strongly. So this means that 74% of the church in America do not even believe that they should share the gospel. The very drive that Jesus had for the kingdom of God is at hand was the very first message that came out of his mouth. He went from place to place, according to Luke chapter 4, and preached the gospel to sinners. He went and ate with the publicans and the sinners. This morning I was thinking, as I was preparing and continuing to prepare the message, I was thinking about Zacchaeus, who, he was a rich man, got himself up in a tree, and Jesus didn't pass him by and say, "You loser, get out of the tree." He called him down and said, "I'm going to have supper with you tonight." You see, Christ loves people. Jesus has a passion to save all that are lost. Jesus loves people so much that he's willing to give all that he has, as he did when he was nailed to that cross, when his face was ripped and beaten apart, when his back was laid out, and therefore you find that his back was bleeding and profusely, just guts literally seen from the exterior. As he's hung from that tree, he thought of you and me. That's love. That's love. That's what Jesus is all about. And this is why God is calling his church back to a baptism of love, back to a baptism of being in love with Jesus again and having the same drive and compassion that he had, instead of sitting and thinking, see, people are going to get saved. We've got to seek and to save. The average church sees less than one soul saved a year. This shares just one principle, that the church has lost its way. I don't care how many times you can prophesy around the same circle. I don't care if you go deep in the word. I'm trying to get deep. When people are not being born again, the church has lost the mission and the very purpose of its being on this planet. And Christ is going to bring a revival of men and women who are not willing to sit back and watch people die without any hope, but are going to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. They will not be ashamed. They will not relinquish. They'll not shrink back. They'll not wonder what people are going to say. They're going to get a tenacity in their spirit. They're going to get an unction in their gumption. They're going to say, "God, I don't care what it costs me. If it costs me everything for one soul to be saved, it's worth it all." I was looking at when Jesus called the disciples. Jesus went up to them and said, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." Watch this now. He didn't say, "Follow me and you can join the club." He didn't say, "Follow me and you can join my team." He didn't say, "Follow me and you can even go to heaven." His first declaration to the disciples was, "Follow me and I'll make you a worker." "Follow me and I'll put you to work. Follow me and I'll make you a laborer." Not, "Follow me and come to church when you want to." Not, "Follow me and maybe throw George in the plate." Not, "Follow me and be part of something that never touches the lost in their community." There must be a revival in our spirit for the mind of Christ to again be procreated. And that is, I must do what the will of the Father is. And the will of the Father is to produce fruit. And what is the fruit? The fruit is the gospel. The fruit is souls. The fruit is work. The fruit is labor. You see, we all know that if you don't work, how many here have ever worked with somebody? You both had the same job. You're both working. And they decide to go on 7 smoke breaks a day. So now you're not just doing your work, you're doing their work. How many of you recognize after a while you get sick and tired of that? How many of you recognize that if you've worked with somebody that's been lazy, you're working your butt off getting your job done, but they're doing nothing? So you're literally having to do two people's jobs, and you've said to your boss, I should have their salary too. But the fact is you're not getting their salary, but you're still doing two people's jobs. Why is that the way it is in the kingdom? Where God is doing the work and we're sitting back and just enjoying the fruit of his labor. And God is saying, no, I didn't call you for that. I called you to be a fellow laborer. I called you to work with me. I've got a call on your life. I've got purpose. I put gifts in your life. I've got fruit in your life. I've got people that only you can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need your life. It's time for us to again get back on our knees and say, Jesus, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. And Father, my will is to do the will of your heaven. God, my will is to get back and have fruit being produced in my life, that when I see you face to face, you will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I have labored till the very end. I have served you, God, with all that I have within me. I must decrease that you can increase. Jesus, be pleased with my life. Amen. You see, the heart of heaven is so powerful. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Luke chapter 15, 4 through 7 says this. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. You see, this is the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is that if one is lost, he's willing to leave the 99 that are safe and secure and go after that one who's lost. How many of you were lost before? Man, you didn't know. You even stare at yourself now and say, you actually got saved. I mean, you're shocked yourself that you're sitting in the house of the Lord, born again, washed by the blood of Jesus. You never figured this 5 years ago that you'd ever been born again, but Christ has set you free, and you are free indeed. Can I hear an amen? You see, this lost lamb, Jesus loves one of us so much that he's so passionate to go looking for us. You see, this is what I love about Christ. He is looking for you. He is passionate for you. You know one story that most people don't even recognize is, if a shepherd has a sheep that continues to wander, that always wanders off, and honestly, as a pastor, that's one of the saddest things that I see on a consistent basis. People that have a genuine touch of heaven. People that genuinely have an experience with Christ. They've truly accepted Jesus as their Savior. And then they stop going to the house of God. They stop getting into the Word of God. They stop growing in Christ. And soon, they're lost again. A shepherd, what they used to do when they had a sheep that constantly wandered, is they would go get it, and then they would break its leg. I know, doesn't that sound like fun? If you constantly wandered, you see, and you know, I do that on a constant basis. I'll sit down and I'll sit up here on a Sunday morning. I'll look out and see the people not here, and I'll start texting them. Where are you? Miss you. Why aren't you here? You okay? You alive? Why do I do that? Because honestly, I'm so sad seeing how many people are not willing to give their all to Christ. They're willing just to give enough to get out of hell, but they're not willing to truly see what Christ has for them. And when you co-labor with heaven, the rewards that you are going to get are far going to outweigh what you could ever accomplish on this earth. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There comes a determination in your spirit that my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. There is nobody, there is nothing that can distract me from God's purpose for me, and I will fulfill and produce fruit for God's kingdom and bring him glory. They say that sheep, when its leg is broken, the shepherd will then bind up that leg and carry that sheep on his shoulder until the leg is healed up. And then what he'll do is they say that sheep has created such a bond with the shepherd that they won't leave ever again. They'll never wander again. You see, there are so many believers that need their legs broken. We're not only not fruit producing, we're wandering on a constant basis. We play with sin. We moved into this new house, and one of the things we found was a unique noise at like 4 a.m. And that unique noise is this. As the mouse is running over the ceiling. So I put out a mouse trap. And I know this. You play with a mouse trap long enough, you're going to get caught. You play with sin long enough, you're going to get caught. There's a need for you and I to make a determination in our lives. I will be drawn and thrusted by the compassion of Christ, by the life of Christ more than anything else. And Jesus, if you want me to go after one person, I'll leave everything just to save that one. Can you imagine? What would it cost for one soul? What is one soul worth? What are you worth to be snatched from Satan's lair out of eternity? What is the cost that are you willing to pay for your own life? We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord isn't really being slow concerning his promises, as some might think. No, he's being patient for our sake. He does not want anybody to be destroyed, but wants everybody to repent. Luke chapter 19, verse 41, now as Jesus drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. This is the passion of Jesus. He loves people. When you start sharing, when you start producing fruit, you need to recognize that your church is not the answer. This church can save nobody. The preacher can save nobody. It's fine inviting people to church. I like the fact that we always encourage you to invite people to church. And the reason is because we know they'll hear the gospel. But what is more powerful is that you will share the gospel with them. That you will produce fruit. That you will have a passion for the lost. That you will share Jesus with people. I'm talking like say Lord, I just thank God for how he's changed my life. How many of you, Jesus has changed your life? How many of you can honestly say there's been a total difference in your life since you've received Jesus as your Savior? You see, that's the power of the testimony. That's the power of the gospel. The gospel is so simple, and it says this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scripture. You see, today, a lot of us live what we call the optional life. And there are great options in this life, aren't there? You know, if you go to college, you can choose the elective you want to take. So you need 3 more credit hours, so you choose kayaking. You choose your elective. You go to high school and you choose what sports you want to join. We sit back and we've made the choice that the Patriots are far better than the Bills. Wow, that's the greatest response we got all morning. And I'm still speaking the truth. Glory to God. We make choices on a constant basis. But I want you to realize that in God's kingdom, there are times that there aren't choices. Everybody knows that, right? There are times that there aren't choices. There are times that there are commands. There are times that there are mandates that if God said it, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, whether it works for you or not. Listen, God's kingdom is not democratic. Well, we did get quiet on that one. I said, God's kingdom is not democratic. It's God says it, it is so. This is a kingdom, not a democratic society. And in God's kingdom, he has commands. How many of you were in the armed forces before? armed forces. Great. You were in the armed forces, and you got done basic training, and they sent you your orders, and it was to go to, let's just say, to Japan. And so you looked at your commanding officer, and you said, listen, I like the thought that you had for me, but I can't go. You know, I've got family at home. You know, I've got a job. I got to work Sundays. You know, I've got this and I've got that. And you share with them all the things, all the reasons that you just cannot go to Japan. What do you think your commanding officer is going to say to you? What happens when you tell your commanding officer you just simply can't go? Well, I mean, I like the fact that you say I need to go, but honestly, you know, I don't have the time. What's going to happen to you? We own you is what happens when you're in the armed forces. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. With the commands of God, there's a necessity to recognize that when we obey, it's better than sacrifice. That when we obey God and the commands of God, that the blessings of God are going to chase us down and trip us up. When we learn that obedience is what God's passion is for our lives, and God will never do anything that will not be a blessing to us. Sharing the gospel is not optional. Well, you're a very lively church this morning. I thought I stepped back into the Baptist world. Hallelujah. Sharing the gospel is not optional. Romans chapter 1 says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed that Jesus came and lived a sinless life, born of a virgin, that he died on a rugged cross. I'm not ashamed of the fact that he died and on the third day he rose from the dead. I'm not ashamed of the fact that my God, the only way to be saved is through the blood of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the truth that makes people free, and God will work in a person's life when the gospel is preached. It is not an option to share the gospel. You see, this is where we get into this church world thing, where we bought the church rather than bought the kingdom, where we bought the church rather than doing God's will. And you see, honestly, folks, there's no greater high than sharing the gospel with somebody. When you get to lead your friend to Jesus, their life changes. Everything is worth it all. See, when we see that there's not a choice or not an option, we see it in Matthew chapter 28. And sadly, in America today, 61% of all people that call themselves believers never share the gospel. Only 39% of any Christian will share the gospel. When was the last time you shared Jesus with somebody? Don't say. When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? When was the last time you shared your testimony of how Jesus changed your life? This is direct impact on the fruit and reward that you'll have in your life. Now, you see, I know how to build a big church, guys. Ready? I'll preach 15 minutes. Only the things you'll say kumbaya to. We'll have a 20-minute worship service, and we'll be out within an hour. And we won't be offensive. I'm sorry. Here's the reality. The gospel is offensive. When somebody doesn't want to receive, somebody doesn't want to grow, the fact is that they are going to get mad. I have people mad at me all the time. I'm okay with that. Because I'm not afraid of you. I got to stand before him someday. And my declaration is I choose to share the word that will bring truth and life into people's lives. Thou truly what God will say is, well done, thou good and faithful servant to me. And there's a need for me to be able to share and live the way I live. You know, we walked in the parade just the other day, my wife and I, and all the great group of people from His Tabernacle. We were in the Elmira parade. And people say to me, why do you do that? It's kind of stupid. And, you know, not everybody that's in the parade wants to be in the parade. You know, they get mad, and I hate parades. I hate doing this stuff. You know what? I love it. Do you want to know why I love it? Because that's where the church should be. We're here to get filled up. We're here to be built up. We're here to get empowered. We're here to worship together as one body and as one life. But we're not called to live in here. We're called to go where the lost are. For Jesus came to seek and to save them which are lost. It's in the crowds. It's in the lost. It's where the people are. Man, I love watching people wave and say, thank you, Pastor. Have Merry Christmas, Pastor. And then a lady came up yesterday to Pastor Jade at the table over here at the holidays and said, I saw you in the parade. I've seen you on TV, I think she said too. And she says, I've got to come to that church. Listen, they see love. They see that a church cares. Man, when a church does not reach to their community, then they don't love their community. We are the ones that God has chosen, the salt and the light, to be transitioned to this region. And as the body of Christ, each one of us fulfill God's destiny for us as we are fitly formed together. One will be an eye. One will be an ear. One will be an eye. One will be a big toe. One will be a small toe. One will be skin. But all I know is when we all work together, we can reap a harvest of souls for Jesus. Can you imagine? I'm almost done. Can you imagine? You got to work tomorrow. How many got to work tomorrow? You got to work tomorrow, and you're getting ready to work, and you've woken up. And you're getting ready to climb out of bed, and guess what happens? Your legs choose not to move. So you look at your legs, and you say, move. And your legs are still laying in the bed. And you're trying to convince your legs, no, you listen, I've got to go to work so I can pay for the bed that you're comfortable in. Now I need you to get up and work. I need to walk and take a shower. Amen. Walk and take a shower. I need to get ready. I need to drive to work. Legs, work. You slap your legs. You pick your legs up. You put them down. And guess what? Your legs choose not to work. What's going to happen to your body? Why does the church do that? Where each one of us have a specific call in our life. And we just choose not to work. The pastor can slap your leg. Can try to motivate your gift. And you just look at him and say, I'm too busy. I like the bed. But if you don't move, the body can't produce. Each one of us make this choice. Each one of us got to make a decision. Will I be somebody that will produce fruit for the kingdom of God? Will I be somebody that will say my life is not my own? Will I be somebody that will say, oh, Pastor, I've asked and there's just nothing to do? That's not true. Man, start knocking on Pastor Dan's office until 2:00 in the morning if you got to. I'll give you his address to his house. Glory to God. And say, I can't do anything until I start working in the kingdom. I got to start working. I've got to be a fruit producer. I've got to do something for Jesus. Listen now. His address is... But you got to do something. Well, Pastor, works won't get you to heaven. And that's exactly true. You can work and produce a lot and not go to heaven. Just because you work doesn't mean you have faith. But watch. Show me your faith and I'll show you my works. James. When you have faith in God, when you are born again and blood washed, something automatically happens in your life. It is a design of heaven. The seed of God is planted. The seed and the personality of Christ is starting to mature. And what is that seed? The seed is fruit producing. And God will put within you a desire to do something for his kingdom, to share the gospel with people, that you will be a person that will be a fruit producer and not just a taker. We've got too many people in the body of Christ, in the kingdom at large.
large that are on welfare in the kingdom. And I'm not talking money welfare. I'm talking kingdom welfare. They're letting God do all the work. They're sitting back and doing nothing to help. We've got to have a revival of workers. And the devil keeps everybody busy enough so that they sit back and they do their own life. You don't have a life. Your life is not your own. You gave it to Christ. One amen would have been good. I know that's the gospel we don't like to hear. But that's the true gospel. Whether I'm a pastor or not a pastor, it makes no difference. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd still be working my butt off in the kingdom. Simply because I can't do anything half-baked. I've got to give my all to Jesus. Or I can't. Maybe that's just me. If I can't give my all, baby, if I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to do it well. I'm going all the way, one way or the other. I'm not a good seesaw guy. I got hurt really bad when I was a kid. I don't think I broke my tailbone, but I know I bruised it. Somebody got off before me. If you had to look at your life right now, honestly, and ask, what fruit am I producing for God's kingdom? What would you say? If you had to look at your life and know only the things that are done for Christ will last, what fruit are you actually producing for the Lord? Some of you much, some of you some of you little, some of you none. But that's when we make a decision to say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. It might be sweeping. I believe there are people that clean toilets are going to get a higher reward than many preachers. Because it has nothing to do with visible. It has to do with faithful. Well, I don't seem to have the gifts that everybody else does, but you have gifts. You have fruit. Fruit's never been made for its own tree. Why are you here? Jeremy is one of the church bus drivers. Jeremy, stand up and wave at everybody. He hates this. That's why I'm doing it. Come on, Jeremy. Wave. There we go. No, that wasn't a stand. That wasn't even close. Stand up and wave at everybody. There we go. That's Jeremy. He's one of the church bus drivers. And, you know, you would never know until I just pointed him out that he's a bus driver. But that means every Wednesday and every Thursday. Are you working both of those days? Every Tuesday and every Thursday, he's helping bus in over 220 children to hear the gospel of Christ. Every soul that's saved, he'll be part of. Every person that gets born again, every young person that their life changes and now they become a preacher and now they're sharing the gospel. Every soul from decade to decade will come back to his account. Isn't that powerful? Listen, it's worth it. It's worth obeying Jesus. It's worth living under the command. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the earth. Go and preach the gospel. Go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I love verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere. Obedience. And the Lord working with them. I want you to know, everything you do for Jesus, you don't have to do alone. He's yoked up with you. Man, you got the creator of all the world. You've got the creator of the entire universe saying, whenever you put your hand to the plow, I want you to know you're not doing this on your own. I'm with you. I'm pushing you. I'm strengthening you. I'm empowering you. I'm anointing you. I'm going to do everything I can to make you successful. You see, every fruit that we produce for the kingdom, we're not doing it even on our own. God is helping us so that we will be rewarded in the end. Well done. Well done. Today, when was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? When was the last time you personally led someone to Jesus? What are you doing in God's kingdom? What are you doing in the local assembly? All of those matters. Because all of that is command and not option. Bow your heads with me this morning. See, as your pastor in the year of the kingdom seed, I want your life to produce such phenomenal harvest that when you stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you won't bow your head in shame. But you'll be able to cast crowns at his feet and declare, "Great is your faithfulness." But today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, that's where it's got to start. You've got to surrender your life. Oh, but Pastor, you're telling me to surrender my life to work? Exactly. Salvation is free, but it will cost you everything you got. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that the blood of Jesus will wash every stain away. You become a brand new man and a brand new woman. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus has a life for you, a destiny for you, a purpose for you, a direction for you. You are not an accident. And if you don't know him today, I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join religion. I want you to know Jesus. If you need Christ as your Savior this morning, I'd like you to raise your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone in the room that needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Oh, I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. I know at times messages can be heavy, but boy, I tell you something. I remember when I wanted a gun. I wanted a 243. It was 1979. How many remember 1979? Dear Lord. I said that in first service, and all the worship team started chuckling. I wanted to buy a 243 in 1979. And it was like $110. It was a Mark 10 243, Interarms. And I went to my dad and I said, "I'd like to buy the 243. Really what I was saying, I want you to buy me the 243. And my grandmother piped up and she said, "I'll buy half." I said, "I love my Grammy." And I was expecting my dad to say, "I'll take the other half." Oh, he didn't do that. He said to me, "I got 5 cord of wood that needs to be split and stacked." I said, "I hate wood." And I still hate wood the same way. I remember going out in the cold, and I remember having to take them all and split each piece and stack all 5 cord. And then in the winter, I was the one that had to go out in the winter and bring in all. I had to fill the wood box every single day. And you know what? I still have that same wood box. I look at it, put no wood in it, just my TV goes on it. And my dad said, "You've earned the rest of the money." He said, "Because if you get everything for free, then you don't respect what you have." And there's a time to recognize that Jesus gave it all for free, but there was a tremendous cost. And today, we work to please him. Oh no, not to buy salvation. But because we have salvation, we automatically will work. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this house will be what it's called to be. Father, you've called us to love you, you've called us to save souls, and you've called us to develop leaders. I bind right now any spirit of religion in the house in Jesus' name. I declare, God, that each one will have this message, the word of God that was declared through the scripture to penetrate their spirit, and that Holy Ghost, you will draw each one of us to a place of working in your kingdom. That, Father, each one of us will be compelled to reach the lost. That each one of us will put our hands to the plow and, Father, do something in your kingdom for your sake. Lord, I thank you for a working church where not one limb is limp. Not one problem, oh God, within each one. That each one will be healthy, growing, and maturing. Father, I just release the blessing of heaven right now on this church. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare that no sickness has a right in their home. I curse every sickness and disease that's standing in this room today. And I declare it to die and to come off the bodies of the believers in Jesus' name. I declare, God, that those that are struggling with addictions will be free in Jesus' name. And that each one of us, God, will stand firm and declare that my God is pleased with my life. My God is pleased with my walk. My God is pleased because I'm serving him with everything I have in me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We love you. Share the gospel with somebody. The prayer team's coming to the front of the altar right now. If you have a need of any kind, they'll pray with you, believe God with you, release the power of God in your life, and you'll see a miracle occur. We love you. We want to remind all those that are our guests to meet us in the guest reception room. We'd love to meet you.